I want to talk about something that the Lord's been talking to me about this week, and then, hey, I hope it hits home for you because it's been hitting home for me. But recognize that one of the things that he's still saying, and we've said it for a number of weeks now, but he's still saying, today is the day of faith. Today is the day of faith. See, faith is the activation for graduation. So when we understand that today is the day of faith, then we understand that we're being positioned for graduation. We're being positioned for a day of change. We're being positioned for a day of interface with our Lord and our Savior. Today is a day of faith. I'm just going to John 6, verse 38. Jesus is explaining himself, and basically what he's doing here is summarizing his mission statement in one scripture. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's his mission statement. In other words, that's a place where he's acknowledging his surrender. He's paving the way for your own surrender because he's acknowledging his surrender. He's saying, I yield to my Father. Whatever's going on in my life, I yield. I purpose to yield to my Father. I purpose to yield to his way of doing things. There's nothing that I'm going to do that I don't see my Father do. There's nothing I'm going to say that I don't hear my Father say. And I'm going to yield this will of my own to my Father because in this yielding of my Father, in this place of surrender, comes my strength. See, and in the place of surrender, we find that we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks or a month ago, I don't know, somewhere. We've talked about in the place of surrender, in the place of yielding, there's an acknowledging of who Christ is. And see, when we acknowledge who Christ is, then our faith becomes effective. What does Philemon 6 say? He says, My faith becomes effectual. The communication of my faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in me through Christ Jesus. The communication, in other words, the expression of my faith, the interaction of my faith becomes effectual because I begin to acknowledge who Christ is. And so when I'm acknowledging who he is, I come into a place of surrender to what it is that he wants. When I come to a place of surrender to his life, surrender to his will, now I can come into a place of alignment with him. And as I come into that alignment with his divine will, suddenly the power of his might comes with that to address every situation in my life. Not only to address every situation in my life, but if you stay with it, it begins to address a situation in someone else's life. If you stay with it, it begins to form a testimony that changes somebody else's life. A testimony that changes someone else's existence. A testimony that is seen and demonstrated, not just in your words, but in your actions. So those are the things we're looking for out of a place of surrender. And when we can acknowledge that, we give head knowledge that surrender is a good thing. So why don't we do more of it? Which brings me to the topic that he's wanting me to speak about, that he's been speaking to me about, is trust. Because see, the reason that we don't is because we don't trust. If we absolutely trusted him, surrendering to him is the easiest thing in the world. When we trust him, and we understand who he is, and we actually have a trust for who that is, then surrendering to him becomes the most natural thing we can possibly do. It becomes the only logical conclusion. So what we have to do is effectively work on our trust. Effectively understand that whatever it is that I'm holding back on, it's an area that I don't actually totally trust. You know, there's different levels of revelation of God. Okay, go to Exodus 6. Exodus 6. This is when the Lord is speaking to Moses. He's not done any of the miracles or anything yet. It says, 6 verse 3, he says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, or Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. I never made myself known to them as Lord, is what he's saying. I never made myself known as Lord to them. I made myself known. I exposed myself. I became to them as God, but I never made themselves known to them as Lord. If I never became a personal Lord, the personal steward over them. See, what he's revealing here, there's levels of what God will reveal to us based on what we'll do and how we'll respond to him. Moses was considered the most humble man on the earth because he surrendered more than anyone else could. There's your clue right there. There's how we step in to the place in God. There's how we step in and we come to a place of being able to trust as we surrender. Right there. We have to understand that it's never going to be about our efforts. It's going to be about our surrender. Our place in God is purely based on how much of ourself can we surrender. And if we'll begin to trust Him, we can surrender more. Hallelujah. I want to just be vulnerable with you, okay? Because in that vulnerability, there's hopefully something that you can learn. It says, your fears are unwarranted, for I am with you. Now, I'm not the only person he's ever said that to. I'm probably the only person who you'll hear admitting it from a pulpit. But when he says, I am with you, if we truly understand that, if we truly believe that to the very last essence of our core, fear is dealt with entirely and completely. I am near her today as you acknowledge your trust for me. This acknowledgement brings forth the effectiveness of faith. I was in the process of that particular morning of just acknowledging the Lord. I was acknowledging faith. I was acknowledging my trust for Him in certain ways. It is the fear of abandonment that I'm not there for you, which often prevents you from stepping out in faith. See, Kim had to go to the doctor, and we were doing these things, but there was a gentleman who came in that morning. He obviously had some issues with his back, and I had the thought to pray, but I didn't act on it. I didn't get up and interface with him. Had an opportunity, and I didn't take it. Why? Because I wasn't sure whether he was going to be with me in it. So we've been talking about receiving. LaRue in particular has been talking about receiving a number of different times here recently. He says, in your receiving, receive me. In your receiving, receive me. Because see, if we'll begin to receive Him, everything changes. If we'll begin to receive Him, now He can begin to address the other issues. Because if we'll receive Him, He's going to explain a little bit more in a few moments what else that means. He says, receive me, for out of this increase of relationship will spring every good thing that you desire. Abandonment will flee in a greater revelation of me. Our issues of abandonment, the issues of fear, when we understand who He is, they don't have any place anymore. Confidence replaces hesitation as you open yourself to receive me in new ways. Now, here's an interesting thing. This first part we know. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Trust is the acceptance of what has been offered. Trust is the acceptance of what has been offered. See, I've always had a difficulty distinguishing trust and faith. But see, what he's saying here is faith is that which is being applied for something that's not yet seen. It's the evidence of what's not yet seen. However, trust now, according to his definition, is when those things have been evidenced, whether or not you will accept it. He's shown himself to be a loving God. Are you going to trust it? Are you going to accept it? He's shown himself to be a provider. Now, it's no longer an issue of faith. It's a matter of stepping into trust. He's shown himself to be a healer. So now it's an effort of stepping into trust when he's shown it to you personally, when it becomes real to you. I don't have to accept Kim's love by faith. I can trust it because I've seen it in action. Understand the difference he's highlighting here. So trust is the acceptance of what has been offered. What is your Holy Father offering you? What a promise has you received from Him? When we understand the promise that we've received from Him, when we can see that promise, now we're stepping into trust. Trust is therefore a receiving of my promise and truth. Trust is a decision to accept what is evidenced. A decision to accept what is evidenced. See, everything in the kingdom of God comes down to a decision. Because everything in the kingdom of God must be about a decision. Because you came into the kingdom by a decision. And it's by a decision that everything that's in you will change. It's by a decision that everything that's around you will become evidence to you. It's by a decision in your heart that you can begin to have an understanding of what's going on. And it's by a decision in your heart that you can begin to step into the very destiny God described to you even as you got saved. But it takes a decision. A decision to accept what is evidence is called trust. I'm looking for those who will have faith for what is not known and will trust what I have shown them. Your decision to trust me is a decision to receive me. So what did he say earlier? In your receiving, receive me. So he's saying, trust me. Learn how to trust me. Learn how to come and see those things and acknowledge what I have actually done. Acknowledge who I actually am. Because in the acknowledgement, there comes forms of trust in you. The faith, your faith is made effective. When your faith is made effective, the communication of your faith is made effective. It's called trust. What I was actually doing that morning was I was expressing to the Lord that, Lord, I trust you in this situation. I choose to trust you, Lord, to be with me, to manifest your healing. I trust you, Lord, that I have received, just as Jesus did, this is Acts 10:38, where he received the Holy Ghost and power, and the Lord anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. And so I was saying to him, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, for you have anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power. I trust you because, Lord, you have taken that anointing, Father. And in me, Father, you are healing those who are sick, Father. In me, you are, Father, casting out devils. In me, Lord, you're doing those things. I choose to trust you here because I've seen the evidence of it happen in somebody else's life. And because I can see the evidence happening in somebody else's life, now it becomes a place for me to extend and accept what he's offering for me. Looking at a cow in a new gate, huh? A cow in a new gate. You have that look. It's like, what is this thing? Hallelujah. God wants to extend trust. He wants to extend to himself to you. He wants you to learn how to trust him in all of his ways. As we learn how to trust him, we can learn how to receive something and understand something that's greater than our circumstance. He says here, trust is earned as a product of integrity and action. When God interacts with you, there's going to be integrity in action. When certain people interact with you, there will be integrity in action. And trust is formed. Trust is conferred in certain situations and positions. But even then, it is provisional until experience ratifies it. When you come up against a police officer, there's a certain trust that is inferred to them because of the position. But you have to also learn to walk with that. Because, see, sometimes you can have an experience even with somebody to whom trust should be conferred. You can have an experience with them that would cause you not to trust them. You know, in my life, particularly in my young life, when I had real long hair and all those things, why, I had lots of experiences with police officers that caused me not to trust them. Some of those were probably my own agitation and fault, but not all of them. I mean, I would just get pulled over and said, well, we saw a car like yours had been stolen. Well, the car that I was driving, there was only 2,000 of them ever made. So the fact that there would likely ever be another one in Longview, Texas, of all places, was like zero. So no, that car never had been stolen, and it didn't look like anything that they thought they were looking for. But the fact is that I looked like somebody they needed to stop. That was true. But in the same thing, that seeing those kind of things caused me not to trust somebody that whom trust should have been conferred to. Hallelujah. Did I make it more real for you? See, broken trust will first destroy communication and then relationship. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've all been the one who broke the trust. And we've all been the one who receives the breaking of our trust. It's one of Satan's greatest tools against man. The breaking of our trust. Because see, with it, families are destroyed. With it, relationships are destroyed. With it, even whole societies are destroyed. It's a situation that we're walking through right now because the confidence in our government is at the lowest point ever. And that precipice is because of a broken trust. Because they have not done the things that they should have been doing to respond. But see, even in a family, even in a personal relationship, the breaking of trust will ruin the relationship. Both the one who does the breaking and the one who receives are hurt by this. Here's the good news. Here's how we get out of it. Restoration can be initiated by either party, but ultimately will be participated in by both. Trust can be restored by a choice of the will or a new set of experiences. You can make a choice to trust in spite of what's happened. You can make a choice that I will choose to trust in spite of what I see, in spite of what has gone on, in spite of how I've been hurt. Or you can actually begin to experience new things. Because something in you changes, now the whole situation gets to change. Your whole interaction gets to change. Because something in you has changed, now all of a sudden God can begin to speak and release a new way of doing things, a new way of responding to things, because you are looked for and allowed for new experiences. If we just keep doing the same old thing, we're going to get the same old result. And if we continue to do the same old result, then ultimately we will break the trust again. But if we actually come to a place where we find what God's purpose is in our life, and we begin to apprehend those new experiences and understand those new experiences, then we can actually begin to manifest something different than what we did before. These experiences can happen naturally, or they can be in encounters in my spirit. You're not subject to your only way out being some experience that you have in the natural. The experience that you have in the spirit can reestablish the trust. The experience that someone else has in the spirit can reestablish their trust. You want what these notes are to me? They're an establishment of trust for me personally. Because, see, it's an understanding of who my papa is. in a way that I couldn't have known. The things that I've experienced in God have drawn me into a new relationship with Him where there was broken trust, which was not God's fault, but my own view. But by the experiences that I've had with Him in the Spirit, those things have been washed away. Because I've chosen to allow Him to come to me in this way, and as He speaks to me and I write it down, now all of a sudden those experiences can begin to change how I interact with Him. But not only do they change how I interact with Him, they change how I interact with each of you. So places where I might have broken your trust before get changed because of my interaction with the Lord. That's the thing that's so valuable. That's the thing that makes Christianity different. Because see, it's not a matter of me changing it. It's a matter of me being changed. If you're a Buddhist, your only observation is to consistently try and try and try and try and push and push and push and push until you make something happen. Till you make yourself a little better. But it's all self-effort. But we can experience it through the grace of Christ. The change is made in us simply because we present ourselves to Him. Simply because we'll relate ourselves to Him. And as we relate ourselves to Him, He is more than graceful to change something in us. So there can be encounters in the Spirit, and it can change the trust. When that happens, now the relationship with two parties changes. When I do marriage counseling, I've said this before, but it's worth mentioning again. When I do marriage counseling, my issue is not really to create things between two people. I want to turn each one of them to Christ. Because see, if I know that if I can turn each one of them to Christ, then they're going to naturally come together. Because as they come into Christ, they're always going to come up and they're going to come together. And no longer do I have to worry about those other petty differences, because the petty differences won't make any difference anymore. The petty differences will all be dealt with as they come into a new arrangement of trust for God. And therefore, because they're both trusting God, now they can extend trust to each other in areas that they couldn't have possibly even thought about relating to before. Your experience with God can begin to change the nature of your relationship. He says, I am the author of trust. Since He is author of truth, since He is truth, the Word says He is truth, then that qualifies Him to be the author of trust. Trust comes as a foundation between me and you. I can move in you and for you through trust. I can move in you and for you through trust. Isaiah 30 and 15 in the New American Standard says it this way. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. In quietness and trust is your strength. Who is He speaking to? See, because you need to know the background. Because, see, He was speaking to a group of people who the Assyrians were coming. And the Assyrians were coming. The Assyrians are coming. That's all they heard day and night. The Assyrians are coming. And they were. And they hatched this plan that we're going to go back to Egypt. And God kept saying to the prophet Isaiah, stop! Sit down. Let me protect you. Let me be your covering. Unfortunately, history says that they went to Egypt anyway. And then He had to tell them, if you go to Egypt, here's what's going to happen. Isaiah 30, He's telling them about that. And it wasn't good things. But He said, if you'll stop, if you'll allow me to minister to you in quietness and in trust, I'll cover you. I'll cover you. I'll give you a strength that you know not of. if you'll allow me to minister to you, if you'll sit there in quietness and trust, I will minister to you and I will save you. The remnant that was saved was the remnant that stayed in spite of everybody who said, we got to go to Egypt. God's not looking for us to return to Egypt. He's not looking for us to return to bondage. He's looking for us to sit and be still and trust Him to come into a place of acknowledging Him through quietness and trust. And knowing that He will then deal with the situation that is facing us, opposing us. Your peace is based in trust. Grow in trust and grow in me. Trust is the engagement of love. I see two ways. That's an interesting way he said that. He expressed that way. It's an engagement of love. I see two ways that I can render that. Because first is that God is love. And so therefore, trust is an engagement with God, and an engagement of God is an engagement with love. It's an alignment with love. But it's also a betrothal. It's a promise of the love that is being extended, being received and accepted. When you get engaged in the natural, what you're doing, you're engaging. When you're engaging in the natural, you're expressing your intent to receive the love of another. He says trust is that expression of the intent to receive my love. That expression of the intent to receive what I've offered. You never thought about trust that way before. Trust is confirmed in adversity. Thursday night, LaRue mentioned that Paul, in the middle of a hurricane, Euroclydon, which is what they have over there on the other side of the world, but in the middle of this hurricane, they're on the ship, and he says, trust me, there's not going to be any life lost. Not going to be any life lost. Well, if you look at the situation, the storms are blowing all around you. The waves are coming up over the sides of the ship. It looks like every life is going to be lost. Because look at this. We're hitting this land. Running right into it. And truly, the ship was totally lost. But not one life. Why did he stand? Because he stood in a place of trust. In the middle of the adversity, he was able to proclaim the word of the Lord because he stood in a place of trust. Because God had proved himself so many times before. He had such a revelation of who God was. He said, when my God says this, then it's going to happen. It's no longer something I'm standing on by faith. I've already seen it. I've already experienced it. And we're going to walk in it again. A revelation of trust. See, what we trust is revealed in adversity. By nature, we're wanting to maintain control all the time. By nature, human beings want to regain control over everything around them possible because that's how we feel safe. But that's not really safe. That's not really even a way that he looks for us to react, because if we'll come into a place and we'll just allow him a place of surrender in that moment, if we'll allow him a place of yielding in that moment, then he can give us an instruction that will truly make us safe. But human control wants to just regain mastery over the situation when we got one who is master. He says, I will shelter my people in trust. In Psalms 91, it says this, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. That's the thing that we are coming to a place of understanding. The refuge we have in Him. When we surrender, when we become vulnerable to Him, what we're actually doing is coming into a place where we have shelter. Just the opposite of what the world would teach us to understand. He says, encounter me through trust. Father, I'll increase the place of your trust. Probably the greatest experience that I've had thus far in the Lord came from a young girl saying this, praying this over me. She says, Father God, teach Pastor Chuck how to get out of the way. Now, none of the adults would have had the courage to say that, but this little 9-year-old kid said it, and I agreed with it. And 2 weeks later, I had an experience like none other with the Lord. But see, I encountered him through a place of trust. Because I was willing to trust that, Lord, if I just yield myself enough, I'll meet you. I'll meet you. He's so good. Righteous convictions are confirmed in trust. Allow me to direct them, the convictions, and perfect them. He says, your choice reveals your trust. Your choice reveals your trust. What are you choosing in day by day, moment by moment? What are you choosing to look at? What are you choosing to follow after? What are you choosing? Because see, those things that you're choosing, that's where your trust is. It's all your time consumed with trying to lay up storage for a rainy day, then that's where your trust is. If all your time is consumed in knowing who this Jesus is, then that's where your trust is. But where is your trust? It's going to be revealed by your choice. What are you choosing to do with your time? What are you choosing to do with your attentions? What are you choosing to do with your thought? Because there's where your trust is. He's given us such a power in our choice. Such a power in our choice. Psalm 118 and then verse 8 says, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. The power of your choice is greater than the power of the enemy. Luke 10, he tells you this. He says that I've given you the power over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And as he says that, he's been telling you that the second power there is dunamis power. That's where we get the word dynamite. And that's the explosion that can happen. That's the explosion of what the enemy wants to do. And he wants to take the circumstance and he wants to blow it up in your face and make it look like there's no tomorrow. He says, but the power of choice, he says, the first one that he gives you is the power of choice because it's exousia. That power of choice, that freedom to do, the liberty to do as you will. That power that I've given you in me is greater than the power of the enemy. Because that exousia power that I've given to you, the power to choose, and when you choose correctly, and when you choose him, when that power means that the enemy has no power over you. When you choose correctly, then all of a sudden anything that the enemy was going to try to throw up against you really no longer matters. Because see, you're choosing to add the one with you who is greater than he who's come against you. Greater than he who's in me than he who's in the world. That's what Jesus said. Well, you get to say that too. Because you get to say that because Christ is in you. And because Christ is in you, you can say the same thing that Jesus said. And he said, greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. I make a choice to believe that greater is he who's in me than this thing that's out here blowing up in my face. And so no longer do I have to look to that for my solution. No longer have to look to that to try to fix it in all myself, because I can understand and stand in the fact that greater is he who's in me. Greater is he in me than this depression. Greater is he in me than is all the assignment of the enemy, the darkness that has come against me. Greater is he in me than the self-pity thing that was trying to be familiar with me. Greater is he in me than the anger that was trying to come against me. Greater is he in me. The call comes from a place of trust. There was a day, and I've shared this before, but there was a day where I was walking out here in the sanctuary. And I was somewhere over in here. And the Lord says, I want you to tell me that you trust me. And I said, well, Lord, I'm a pastor. You know I trust you. We're good, right? And he said, I want you to tell me that you trust me. And I was like, uh-oh. And I didn't know what he was wanting to do. But I knew one thing was for sure, that having this conversation this way wasn't going to get us there. So I decided that I would just, Lord, I'm going to tell you that I trust you. So, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you because, Lord, you created me. I trust you because you knew me before I was even in the womb and you planned good things for me. I trust you because you know me and, Lord, you have known me and you desire a better end for me. I trust you because you are my rock and my fortress. I trust you because, Lord, in you I find peace. I trust you because in you, Lord, I have found rest for my soul, Lord. Because in you, Lord, I can trust you because you first trusted me. Because you trusted me with your son, Lord, and you sent him to save me. I trust you because, Lord, I know that you love me. I trust you, Lord, because, Lord, I have found this love with you. I trust you because of all that you've meant to me. And all that I've known, Father, you've proven yourself worthy. And all that I've seen, Father, you've proven yourself to be honorable. So I trust you. Lord, I trust you with the very essence of who I am. I trust you, Lord, with all that is within me. And I went on with this. I just began telling him, I trust you. And continued to telling him, I trust you. For anything and everything that I could feel at that moment. Because as I trusted him and as I came into that place of trusting him, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I don't know exactly how long, I realized that what started out was very difficult and plastic and really I was saying it, but there wasn't any emotion. It had come and changed to a place where it was full of life. And as it was full of life, it began to have a radiance of its own. And as it had a radiance of its own, I suddenly realized that something has changed. And that I've accomplished what the Lord wanted me to accomplish that day. And see, I didn't understand what had changed, but what had changed was my relationship with Him. It took me a couple weeks to realize what was different, but I started recognizing that I'm no longer walking around looking for what might happen, the anticipation of harm. You see, I'd always grown up with an anticipation of harm. That something was going to change, and when it changed, it wasn't going to be good, and that therefore, I just imputed all those things to my Heavenly Father. And when this exercise had been done, I realized it's gone. I'm no longer expecting something bad to happen. Just because two good things happen doesn't mean something bad has to happen. Just because there's something is going on around the world or in somebody else's life doesn't mean something bad has to happen in my life. I no longer had that thought in the back of my mind that there was some kind of harm coming to me. Because I found a new place of trust. And I'm here to submit to you today that no matter where you find yourself, as you begin to express and begin to acknowledge in you who Christ is, begin to acknowledge His trustworthiness to you, begin to acknowledge the Father's trustworthiness in you. Just like we said at the very beginning, that acknowledgement makes your faith become effective. That acknowledgement makes your trust become real. As you begin to acknowledge how trustworthy He is. Even if you don't totally understand it, you'll begin to walk into a place where there's a whole different relationship opened up. See, it was quite a number of years ago that happened to me now. And now He's having me redo the exercise to open up a new place of trust. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen on the other side. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. What's the new that's coming forth out of a different relationship, out of a deepening relationship, because the more I trust Him, the more I surrender to Him. The more I trust Him, the more I can yield to His voice and follow through with the thing He asked me to do. The more I follow through with the thing He asked me to do, the greater the testimony that is released. So I ask you just for a moment, just to bow your head and acknowledge to the Lord for this next few minutes your trust for Him. Make a choice. A choice to surrender. A choice to allow His trust to be revealed in you. Lord, we choose to trust You, Lord. We trust this place, Father. Our dependence upon You. We acknowledge Your goodness, Lord, that we might trust You. We acknowledge His love out of which we can trust You, Lord. We choose to accept, Lord, what has been offered. We choose to accept the salvation, and for that we can trust You. For we know we can trust You. For Your goodness and Your grace, Lord, are being revealed to us from day to day, from moment to moment. We trust You. We know that the foundation of our faith is in this trust in You, Lord. We know, Lord, that You intend good and not evil. And so we trust You. And because, Lord, You intend good and not evil, Lord, that we can rise up with You and walk with You, Lord, in a place of trust. Lord, that we can trust You to be with us where we are. For Your word says, Lord, that You are always with us. So we trust You. That Your might and Your strength, Lord, are there for us. Lord, that Your desire to unwind and to reveal every situation around us. That You desire to carry us through, Lord, to take us through to the end, Lord, to bring us into a goodly place, Lord. So we trust You. That You desire to address every family and friend, Father, out of Your might and out of Your strength, so we trust You. That You desire, Lord, to bring us, Father, into an acknowledgement of who You are. So we choose to trust You. For today we make a choice to enter into a greater level of trust with You. To receive, Lord, all that You would have us to receive. Lord, we deal with every abandonment issue, Father, in this place called trust for You. We choose to trust You, Lord. We choose to trust You, Lord. We choose to trust You, Father, for every fatherhood issue in our life. Not always have they been the father, Lord, that You would have liked for them to be. But it hasn't had anything to do with You, Lord. So, Lord, we trust You. For You intend us good and not harm, Lord. You intend to bring us into a place, Father, that's safe. So we trust You. Lord, You have become our refuge, the place in whom we can trust. And we acknowledge You. We acknowledge and honor You tonight, Lord, or this morning, Lord. And we trust You. We thank you, Lord, that as we depend upon you, Lord, as we open ourselves, Father, we surrender unto you, Lord, that you are trustworthy with our surrender. That you're trustworthy, Father, with our yielding to you. So, Lord, we just acknowledge you and we trust you. Our heart, Father, is full of confidence, Father, because we choose to trust you. Boldness arises because we choose, Lord, to trust you. Lord, we just surrender to you. We surrender to you, Lord. Come and walk with us in the place of trust. Meet us in the place of trust, Lord. For we choose to trust you. Amen and amen.